Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It made me laugh when they were coming out and they're going, okay, well, we got Prino off our back. And then he cut to me looking miserable because I'm at the bus stop.
Like a loser
taking a bus home, right?
Hello and welcome to Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Avis.
I'm Caroline.
And today we are joined by Tom Melissus, aka Mr. Perino, to discuss Degrassi Season 6, Episode 8, Crazy Little Thing Called Love. Hi, Tom.
Hey.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Avis. Hi, Caroline. Nice to find
Thank
you.
Thank you so much. It's nice to meet you too. Thank you so much for joining us for this.
Yes, like kind of sight unseen because if, you know, that little tidbit we did not record for a good reason, but Tom just kind of was like, I'm rocking with you guys and I'm just going to show up and not know what's happening, which I love so much. Yeah. It fits the chaos of this show. So yeah, welcome.
Well, yeah, I'm happy to be here. For all I know, you both are in an asylum somewhere.
This is a cozy asylum. I look like I'm in a box, though. So, personally, I look like I'm in a little white box.
There's lovely life and color behind you all. You guys are so bright. Look at the nails. Look at your t-shirt. Shout out to BC Bud. Anyway, move on.
Okay, well, if this is a 420 recording, then I'm going to stop turning my camera to hit the pipe. The way I was texting Avis this morning, and I'm like, I don't know why I'm so nervous about this episode. It's not like he's a real teacher.
But it's the authority. It's the authority, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. My presence alone.
Yeah, no, it totally is.
I teach in real life, you know.
Oh, well, I stand corrected then.
I'm a professor at a local college up here, and I teach acting.
That's awesome.
Wow, that's awesome. See, okay, so there is like a, that's kind of where it comes from. It's like you carry yourself like an educator.
It came well after the show ended. It was long after. Someone said, hey, you'd be a good teacher. I've seen your work on Degrassi.
Oh, like you play a teacher on TV, so you can do this.
Yeah, that's the standard here in Canada.
No, that's perfect, actually. Yeah. You're an actor who plays a teacher. So why wouldn't it go the other way?
Yeah. I mean, right? My recent movies, I was a fertility doctor and a maternity ward doctor. So, hey, anybody expecting? Call me in. Right.
I'm going to pass on that. But if I ever need to take an acting class in Canada, I'm coming straight to you.
Yeah, I'm coming to that college.
Okay. All right.
Paying the out of country rate.
Yeah, out of your pocket expenses.
It still be like a half a percent of what you paid for it here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's everything's free up here, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean,
everything's really expensive down here. Right, I was going to say, quality to boot.
Free. Nothing is, they tell you nothing is free. You pay for everything.
No, you're absolutely right. We're heavily taxed up here, and that money goes towards people's medical costs. So it's nothing totally free. You're right.
Beautiful. Because we're heavily taxed and that money goes nowhere.
Hey now. It goes to bombs. Okay. Yeah. It goes to the bombs, and then we pay a ridiculous amount for insurance that doesn't cover anything. It's great.
It's
fine. I don't mind my tax money going towards Caroline's medicinal cannabis. I'm okay with it.
I'm proud that that's where my tax dollars go.
Because she's getting it from BC from Grandpa. So it's a two-way street there.
Beautiful.
No, he stopped growing. He got sober and stopped growing.
Oh, Grandpa, you can be sober and grow beautiful.
I never got to
grass.
Smoke his weed. He passed me a joint when I visited him when I was 15, but I was like, this is a trap.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, he's with the RCMP. He's undercover, Royal Mounted Police.
Well, no, he'd just call my mom, be like, your daughter's a pothead.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Want,
and look how you turned out.
Right?
Yeah, put the pipe away, Caroline.
Never.
What now?
No, now I have grown-up jobs that I can't do stoned, but.
Oh, okay.
Those are always fun.
Those are so few. There's a many jobs you could do. There's many jobs you could do stoned.
More.
I don't know. I mean, I worked in
people, Tom. Power to
worked
the
in
people.
Food service for years, and it was great because you could just go take a hit in the walk-in and. Everything was fine, but then I moved into banking for a while. Cannot do retail banking.
Cannot take a hit in the walk-in. Is in the walk-in?
Well, no, but you could take a hit in the bathroom, but you couldn't do your job. That's people's money. I wasn't trying to fuck with that.
But could you have access to the vault where all these security deposit boxes are? Just close the door, lock yourself in, and do a few hits.
You could.
Right, it was a bank, so that door shuts. It's airtight. So it's
your
like
hot
a giant,
box
you're
and
a
the
giant
six
bomb
security.
What you are.
Funny enough, one night, and I was not stoned, at closing, my coworker and I forgot to lock the bank.
forgot to lock the bank.
It was one of those things where it was like we had done everything for closing, and then a last minute person came in, and so we just kind of got thrown off, and we'd already done everything. And I don't know, somehow we didn't get fired.
You just didn't lock the bank, and you were and kept your jobs. Beautiful.
That's awesome. Customers are a pain in the ass. They throw you off. Thank God you're not a flight attendant, and you forgot to shut the gate, the door, and the plane took off. That would have been disastrous.
Hold on, my internet's
Caroline,
being the worst.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you're in, and I'm in picture-in-picture, so I'm in a delay. Hang on, let me go back.
I don't know if you guys can hear me at all. I'm so sorry.
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
We can hear you. We can see you. You're moving. Actually, I feel like I'm stoned now looking at you because you're so blurred.
Yeah, you're blurry. That's about it. Your quality is not great. And now you froze again.
You froze. We love that frozen look on your face.
It is great.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Take away.
Why are you handing me this, Grandpa?
I'm back. Yay. No, it's Spectrum. My internet sucks. All right. Do we want to jump on into the episode?
Sure. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Don't. All right. Awesome. Tom, do you want to kick us off with some poetry?
Oh, yes. You know, I just thought of this last night. I wrote it down because I was so excited. Here we go.
You are the second guest ever to try and claim. Yes, ownership of my work.
Yeah, okay, I lied. It's Caroline.
The first
work.
Was
Evie. I think it's Evie.
I'm flattered, really.
Evie's a problem child. Anyway.
You heard it here first, Evie.
Oh my god.
Tom says you're a problem child. Shout out to Evie.
Oh yeah. Okay, here we go. Ready? Roses are red.
Yes.
Perino is mean. Jay tells Sean about Emma and the ravine. The ravine. Sound effects. No, can't have sound effects. Okay. All right, should I go to what the episode's about?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, okay. Things are finally starting to look up for Sean. He's out of jail. He's on a promising path. And he's even back with the first true love, Emma. Unfortunately, Sean learns about Emma and Jay's blowjob bracelet games down at the ravine and throws an extended temper tantrum. Poor guy. Over in B-plot, Mr. Perino, Mr. Nice Guy, is mean to Danny and Derek, which you can't really blame anyone for because he definitely crosses the line. I mean, when Snake intervenes, oh God, Snake, an investigation is launched. Will Mr. Perino ship up or ship out? Or will the storyline be abandoned entirely? And you know what? It was abandoned.
Caroline, you did it again. You did it again. Wow.
No, I've really gotten into the synopsis this season.
I'm literally like, why didn't they just figure out an ending right there?
Oh my God.
Versus
you know what? You know, when I did that episode, first of all, I was totally dumbfounded as to why suddenly Perino was an asshole. You know, and I said, holy yeah. shit, where's this coming from? And they wouldn't tell me. I had this feeling that they had someone lined up and that actor dropped out. So they said, okay, let's throw Tom in this. He'll be the meme teacher. And then when I figured that episode ended, I said, okay, I know Degrassi always ends on a cliffhanger. So Perino's going to come back with an Uzi automatic weapon and he's going to wipe out the entire school so that we don't know who comes back, who survives. That was my mindset. And then they call me and says, oh, you're back, Tom. I go, great. I read the script. I'm just substituting for Mr. Simpson.
You didn't get to murder any teenagers?
Nothing. Nothing. I was looking forward to it. and so that's why my attitude was, they don't give a shit about Perino, so why should I? So that I began this very irreverent tone, this attitude. Every time you see me, I go, all right, this is your history essay. It's got you got to do it by tomorrow. Good luck. No one gives a shit about me. And I just walk out the door. And the writer said, oh, we love that. And from then on, I became this lovable ass, jackass. And there you go. That's how Perino, this career, that episode launched Perino as we know him.
Well, it's funny because we have this theory that's been like our headcanon since season one. We call it fuck them kids theory. And it started with Miss Kwan.
Okay.
Because she in particular, like, yeah, she can be like snarky and she's mean to Spinner a bunch, but she also in the first few seasons does all of this really weird, like meddling type stuff where she's like, you know, she casts Jimmy and Paige as Romeo and Juliet.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
And causes tension between Paige and Ashley. So we have this theory that she hates these kids and she's just like constantly fucking up their lives. And through the seasons, it has evolved and we've added more Degrassi stuff to the Fuck Them Kids Club. But everybody always makes the argument for Perino. And before rewatching this episode, I was like, I feel like he was just like having a bad week.
Yeah. That's what the director told me. I said, Stefan, where the F does this shit come from? He goes, okay, just pretend your wife's pregnant at home. She's expecting any time now and you're anxious. And in my mind, I thought, okay, I'll add to that. I'll pretend that I'm not sure it's my child. So therefore, I became very uptight. Perino got cold.
Well, and you know what? That came across because I was watching. One of my notes was like, okay, he definitely experienced something emasculating recently.
Yeah. That's true.
Because he's just like,
you read my journal.
The first... in the first scene, honestly, I'm with him. Fuck spilling hot coffee on me. Fuck telling me to just go buy new shoes. Those are expensive.
Those expensive shoes. The pan down to the shoes and like the reveal and like the mug all in shatters and everything. Like,
yeah, those shoes were $19.99. Those shoes were $19.99. So they're supposed to look like Versace or something. They're from Shoe World.
Shoe World.
Love it. $19.99.
But that's probably better quality than most
of the mug probably costs more than the shoes. I was upset with the mug.
The mug. No, for me, it's the mug and the coffee. Yeah. It's like the way it like spills on you, and then it's like, it's hot. Then you drop the mug. It's like, fuck. It's such a like, and having worked with kids, I feel that like, I told you not to do this. And it's like, they are kids. It's like, of course you understand they're children, but y'all also have been told.
Yeah.
And you know.
But, and this is why I told you, because I've been around enough to know the possible consequences.
I see it all. I see everything that can happen before it happens. And that's why I tell you not to do this stuff.
Right. You know, how many times have I told you kids, I'm walking down the hallway with my coffee, don't run into me. That's three times you've been told.
That's three times you've
been But you know what's also funny? Later in the episode, when they do their presentation together, I'm wearing the same shirt, it looks like. And it's clean. What the hell happened there? Did I rush off to the staff washroom?
You're like, this is my favorite shirt.
Yes, that should have been it. My favorite shirt, damn you. I got this at Target.
Maybe you've just got like four of it because it's your favorite shirt.
Soundly, like, I love this shirt, so I'm going to buy four. I'm gonna
become bipolar, just wicked psychotic guy. Teacher. I watched this. I watched the episode. And I went, how is it I could be such a jerk? And the next thing I'm talking to him like, hey, let's all forget it, okay? We're good guys, right? Hey, cheer up, Derek. And I'm like, and then I turned to this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
It's so weird. It's so awkward.
Well, and it's weird awkward. Because the apology feels like it's like, you know, you fucked up and you're going to try and do better and hopefully not get in trouble. And then like another kid didn't do his homework and you're like, you're all watching porn and playing video games.
Right. Like the top has like been like just popped off again. Like you slept on it and you're like, I really did step over the line here. And then you apologize to that kid and you're like, I'm good. I wrote this wrong.
No, actually, you know what? I was right. These kids suck.
All of these kids suck. And I need to let y'all know on an individual basis, y'all suck.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely right.
You know what I'm going to... Go ahead, Tom.
No, I was just going
to say... No, you.
The whole thing was that I maybe thought there was cameras in the hallway. Security cameras everywhere.
You look and,
maybe I am on that flight list from Epstein Island after all. I'm good, we're good, okay, can we, okay, and then I just snapped and the kid, that's my new scapegoat, and that guy was a background performer, he had no lines, but I pick on him and
he couldn't speak. he really genuinely wanted to speak and defend himself and he couldn't.
He wasn't allowed to by union rules. If he spoke, he'd have to be paid extra money.
So he just emotes
I'm not supposed to speak.
I
should have improvised. And I said, what's wrong? Cat got your tongue? Speak, say something, pal. But yeah, that was a funny transition to go from that to that. Well, I'll tell you something. After that episode aired in Toronto here, and I was at a grocery store and I was at the checkout counter, and this is a big grocery store, so you can see lineup of different people at different belts paying for the groceries. And I saw this young girl about 12 years old with her mother, and the girl was looking at me like she wanted to kill me. She was 12 years old. And the mother looked down and said, honey, it's only a TV show. It's just a TV show. And I realized she was looking at me because she saw the episode. And she thought, that's Perino. He's a bastard. And he shops at our same grocery store, Mom. I want to kill him. Anyway.
It's not like you were mean to somebody who's likable or matters. You were mean to Danny and Derek.
Danny and Derek,
victimless crime.
Who literally deserved like 80 9% of what they got.
Really?
I only don't appreciate like the outside of the bus stop stuff.
Oh, that was weird.
That stuff was right. It was weird. That's the only thing. It wasn't. It's like, we're gonna have a big problem.
Yeah, man.
Like, well, dude, you're out of the classroom. Yeah. Chill out.
Yeah, it's like prison talk. I'm gonna shiv you, man. I'm gonna shank you when you're not looking, boy. You know, it's like, what the hell? He's like, what, 13, 14? And I'm looking at him. I'm gonna slit his throat. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah,
I apologize the next day.
You're like, absolutely, that was too far.
Yeah.
It's giving Bender and what is his name from The Breakfast Club?
Oh,
Andrew.
No, Bender. And then the principal.
Oh, that guy.
Oh, I know this.
Yeah, we know, right? We know.
That's gonna piss me off, and I can't look it up. I'm not gonna look it up.
I know his face. His face is really mean.
I don't know the name. Vernon. He just,
I always low-key just want to call him Radich because of that
right
episode.
It feels like, but like the way he's like, I'm gonna knock your dick in the dirt, like that's what it's giving.
Oh, God.
Like low-key it's giving like, we're gonna have a big problem. Like, why are you talking to this child like this?
I know, it made me laugh when they were coming out and they're going, okay, well, we got Prina off our back, and then he cut to me looking miserable because I'm at the bus stop.
Like, dude, like
a loser taking a bus home, right?
Right, his day is so terrible. His week is going terrible.
Okay.
Car broke down.
Well, and here's my theory as of right now. His wife is cheating on him with Joey Jeremiah, which is terribly emasculating.
That's
and he can't go get a new used car because the only used car lot in the area is owned by Joey Jeremiah, who's sticking it to his wife.
Or go to a mechanic because the mechanic is having issues right now where things are getting kicked over by Sean Cameron.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's not safe in Tony's garage.
Tony's garage.
The only mechanic I know is Jeff. From the Degrassi Junior High, and that was me years ago. So he doesn't exist.
It's me.
You can never find him. People have seen you both. People know you both. Never in the same room at the same
never
time.
Never in the same room. That's
he's
suspicious.
My lost child. my illegitimate son.
Speaking of plots that just disappeared and just didn't. I mean. I fear that they just wanted you. They wanted a new character. They're like, you know what? You're not Jeff anymore.
Oh, that's so.
They
sweet.
Don't. You got lucky though, because they don't really do that, right? Like you and I think, what's her name, Alex Steele, are the only people who like got brought back for a different series as a different character.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that was so. When I did Degrassi Junior High, within a month, I was doing comedy with Second City. I was touring the country doing comedy, sketch comedy, Second City, and I got my ACTRA union card for TV and film. And then they called me back and said, "We want to bring Jeff back." And I said, "Oh, but I'm union now." And back then, junior high wasn't union, so I couldn't join the show. So they wanted me back. Then years go by. Then I did a show for Linda Schuyler called Riverdale, which is a daily soap opera modeled after the British show Coronation Street. So I played a private detective on that show with them. And then when that shut down, then I got the call, "Would you like to join us in Degrassi as a teacher?" And I said, well, okay, sure. Sounds really stupid, but okay. As long as I'm not like the teacher in Charlie Brown, where he goes, wah, 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 wah. I came back. I think they forgot that I was Jeff. I think they forgot. And by that time, it was too late.
Like this, that sounds like this franchise. To be honest, they just forgot.
Oops.
They're like, "You're great. We're doing all. I think you're familiar. I don't know. It's just me."
Okay. So that. So I guess that's probably solves that. Maybe they weren't aware that I was on junior high as Jeff.
That
I mean, I think that's what happened with Alex, was they just like didn't recognize her because she had been a child. She played Craig's little sister.
Just brought her back for a completely different character in a couple seasons from now, like three.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah.
Hey, I just turned my camera on. Was that good?
Oh, hey. That's great.
I didn't realize. I thought you guys didn't want to see me. Said, oh, great.
Listeners, Tom has been just a little boss.
Just a black rectangle.
Just like 20 minutes or no, like 40 minutes at this point into like the recording and just talking. He's like, so, do you want to turn? It's like, hi.
Hey. So wait a minute. So we have to redo the first 20 minutes again?
No.
All right. Okay.
We can like take a selfie or something to like commemorate us all being little boxes, but we're not.
We can even switch to video if you want. We do have the technology, but I personally, Davis is trying to get me used to the idea of video.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to ease her in.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
To it, she wanted like an alias, like, or like a mask.
When we started this, nobody knew what we looked like. We were pastas. I liked it that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow! But you guys, you match your voices. You know, you're so colorful and flamboyant. It's great. I can see you.
Thank you. We're trying. Like we're both like.
Well, that wasn't a compliment. Hey, come on. Hey, wait a minute.
That was strictly an insult.
Yes, a CompuSalt.
Love it. Perino definitely crosses the line in this episode several times. Mm-hmm. But like, again, it's Danny and Derek, and I just really do struggle to care.
I do.
See, you don't.
I never saw any previous episodes in which they were in, so I didn't know what kind of students they were.
They're
kind of fine now. Like they're just kind of like class clown dumbasses now. But like in a few seasons, Derek assaults a girl because she joins the football team and
also like plant merchandise.
Yeah, he almost gets Danny arrested for shoplifting.
On Danny, the black child, and gets him.
That's right. Because he's black and
which I don't think Derek was thinking of.
Stuff in a black kid's bag. Women's
panties.
It was women's panties.
Because that was the weirdest assignment ever. And that was a weird take. It was like a love assignment. And like, what do you do to attract your girlfriend or something? And then they go to a lingerie store. I'm like, excuse me.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
y'all are babies.
Y'all are children. Babies.
Well, it's Degrassi.
Right. They needed to go there.
Come on. What 12-year-old, 13-year-old did not go into a lingerie store?
If I had a nickel
for every time that Degrassi had a plot about stealing panties, I would have two nickels. Which isn't a lot of nickels, but it's weird that it happened twice in a show for teenagers.
Two panty stealing storylines.
That would have been really good if they caught Perino going in there and he's a crossdresser.
Give Perino something to do besides being mean or just like wildly inconsistent, honestly. Give him something fun to do.
He'd always been kind of harsh, right? Like, because in the episode Secret, where Emma, which we throw back to in this episode, where Emma goes and sucks some dick down at the ravine. Like, who hasn't? But, like, Perino's like, your participation grade has gone from this to this. Like, she didn't just have a gun at her face. So, like, he was always kind of an asshole. but not like, it reminded me of my sixth grade English teacher who wrote in my yearbook, this is back when I went by Carly, which I've been thinking about lately, is like so weird. I'm not a Carly. I wasn't even a Carly then, but that's what I went by. Anyway, he wrote in my sixth grade yearbook, Carly, there's nothing wrong with being a C student, but you are not a C student. Do better.
Wow.
Beautiful teacher words.
Yeah. Where and that was like probably the best thing anybody's ever said to me. But that was kind of how I had always like pictured Perino until this episode.
It
was like, he's kind of a hard ass, but he's only really a hard ass if you're not like meeting your potential.
Right. Yeah, the sensitivity, I think, is what people always point out. Like, geez, she just got a gun pointed at her face. But it's like, also, he's her teacher, and he's trying to, you know, encourage her to still be a student, which is part of his job.
Yeah. So, well, do you have any idea how hard it is to stand up to Emma Nelson?
She just stares.
She terrorizes that school.
Stares at him when he says that. He's like, like, I'm just trying to tell you that you're gonna fail this class.
And she's like, do you want to give me an eating disorder, because that's what you're gonna do.
A participation grade, though, can we torture? I'm so happy that a good portion of my high school classes did not have a participation grade, but like a lot of my college classes did. They were like, no, you're not going to be an anonymous person in the back row sleeping at 8 a.m. You're going to participate. And I hated that. But I respect it now, kind of. Not really.
Still, this is why I went to community college.
I basically went to community college. It was just like a state school. State school is basically community college.
Was it four-year college?
Yeah.
And it wasn't community college, babe, because the fact that it took me 4 years to graduate community college doesn't mean that's how that usually works. I was working full-time. Don't make that face at me.
It took me 5 years. It took me 5 years. For
I used to know a guy who took, like, 8 years to get his bachelor's. It happens.
Well, he's being sorry.
I had to switch a school and things, and I went to a very tiny religious school that made you take, like, 16 credits of religion every term. So a lot of my credits didn't transfer.
Tom, it's very generous of you to say that he was being thorough. It took him 8 years to get a bachelor's in musical theater.
I love how you caught that one comment that Tom made. You're like, hey there, don't think I didn't hear that.
I'm sorry. I love this dude. He's a friend of mine, but it really took you 8 years to get a bachelor's in musical theater.
Oh,
musical theater. He had to take jazz hands a few times.
Oh. Musical theater?
Yeah. Yeah, I had a degree in musical theater that took 8 years.
Like, the whole time, like, he didn't switch or anything?
Well, he switched majors a few times before he landed on musical theater. But come on, there I feel like a lot of prereqs are going to carry.
I was
going to
say that. You're doing a lot of gen eds and all of that. Like 70% of undergrad is gen eds.
Mm-hmm.
So
it shouldn't take 8 years, even if you change your major seven times.
Tom's like thinking about it, like,
I was thinking about it. I was thinking something witty to say, but I don't have anything witty to say. Sorry.
Sometimes the well runneth dry, you know? It's okay.
It happens.
It happens.
Yeah. But hey. You're
probably just so taken aback.
I am. I don't know what that meant. But anyway. But you're talking about Perino crossing the line. I mean, see, later on, I decided to find a different side to him. Remember? So I'd say something stupid, then I'd back up, right?
You know, mm-hmm.
I'd show some softer side to me. See, I'm a good actor.
I thought you did a great job.
I think
it's a little overwritten, Perino, in this episode. It's like this very drastic... God. Oh. Character assassination, like, but I thought you did it very well.
Every scene is a drastically different tone. Oh, I was saying every scene is a drastically different tone.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's just like we're gonna literally every scene is like some tone whiplash, and they're like, we're gonna just do it all. But like, that's Degrassi. They don't want to spread things over episodes. They don't want to do a two-parter. they don't want to unpack it any further than they've unpacked it. And they're like, we don't need to follow up on this.
No, and they left me hanging. But when I looked at it, I said, if I was to do it again, I would do it differently. But it is what it is.
It ended How up, would you do? What would you do differently?
I'd give it a
more nudity. Tone.
Yeah, I would walk around with my shirt off.
A debate, that kind of tone. Yeah. Got it.
Every scene, I'd have a shirt off, I wear a thong, and
I'd be second
piercings
thongs.
All over my body. That'd be nipple piercings, and yeah, that'd be just Torino lost to the plot.
Oh my gosh!
I think that would have been good.
Leather mask and whips. No, I would have
super
been
appropriate for. I would have show
more,
too.
I would have been more reverent, more sort of like sarcastic. That would have been, but at that point, okay. I had no idea. At that point, I had no idea where this character was going or where it came from. So it was only later on I developed that. So
it would have been great if you would have been given some context or insight into your character. Like that would maybe have enhanced your performance. Or
I got nothing. I just got this.
They're just like, you have. You go. Snapped, dude.
Carino's a dick. Take one. Go.
Go.
Oh, God, your wife's not cheating on you with Danny and Derek, is she?
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
We know Degrassi didn't shy away from an age gap. So.
They're like 15 at this point, Caroline.
Derek, I can't hear my wife.
Throw
again.
That woman in the chokey.
A chokey.
I'm not saying I condone it. I'm just saying I don't see it being too out there for Degrassi.
No, you're right. Oh, if they ever bring the show back, it'll be fun to just let it loose into craziness.
Just
well, quit. HBO owns it now too, so it'll be
it's
wild.
In the land of euphoria now. So.
Yeah, my son is 15. He could probably play a student, and I'd be his teacher. That'd be hysterical.
Yeah, no, that I feel like they need to do something with it. Like, we need more Degrassi, especially at a time like this. We need some Canadian wholesomeness, but oh, not yeah. wholesomeness.
It's time. It's been 11 years.
The way that they walk the line with like being wholesome, but then also depicting people that are underage shopping for lingerie is like mm-hmm. really
yeah.
ahead of its time mm-hmm. still. Like, yeah, how do you yeah. manage that? It's the Canadian-ness of it all.
Yeah, we're so polite, and yet we're not.
Yeah.
I think if we came back with the show, it takes place in Canada? Is that how it comes across that the show takes place in mm-hmm. Toronto? Oh, okay, mm-hmm. cool. Well, forget that idea then. I was going to have Brenda walk in and half the students have been deported, but that doesn't fly.
Like, where's my class?
No, you just do a time jump to after we annex you guys.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Welcome to the 51st state. Senator Perino. Governor Perino. Oh my God.
The fandom wants Perino to be a villain so bad because of this episode.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I was
this is the episode that they're like pitchforks for Perino. Not the episode where he told Emma. Like, everybody else is like, oh, no, we relate. That's fine. Because everybody hates Emma. And no one just, like, rightfully hates Danny and Derek. More Derek than Danny. But they both suck.
They both suck. Well, I looked you up on the Degrassi Wiki while I was doing episode prep. You're in, like, 49 episodes.
Is that right?
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
And you're really, yeah, and you're really only horrible in this one, but this fandom really, said, yeah. Fuck that guy.
They're like, that guy sucks. He's a villain.
He's a bastard.
He bullies children. He kicks yeah. children in the face.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Stomped, kind of curb stomped.
You basically threatened to kill Derek's whole family. You were like, if you ever even look at me again, I'm going to murder your mother in front of you. And he's like, whoa, man.
That was a
I'm
little
gonna
threatening,
walk home.
Mr. Perino. It's like he walks the line of being like a little shit and then being like too big for his britches. So like he like Like, why are you like, I don't know. I think it's a personal like trauma to be in front of a like a classroom full of kids and then have one of them be like whispering under their breath because and they're talking about you. Yeah. And it's like, come and say that to my face, you little shit.
Yeah. Bring it on, bitch.
And I know people like if you've ever been like in any setting, if you've been a camp counselor, if you've been like a teacher of like a class of a dance class, anything sort of like informal, formal, it doesn't matter. You know that feeling of being like, are these kids like talking about me? Are they whispering about me because I will fight these kids?
Take them on. Middle schoolers talking shit about me is one of my biggest fears. They're so mean.
So mean.
It's less so now though, because I'm like, shut the fuck up, or I will go fuck your dad and be your stepmom, and then we'll see who's the bitch. But like, you know, that like didn't that. Come until my 30s.
I could say that to Derek. I'm gonna go home and fuck your dad.
I'm your stepdaddy now.
Yeah, you call me daddy, brother. Here I am.
I'm so glad that I messaged you on Instagram. This may be my favorite episode ever.
I'm just playing along with you guys.
You just and beautiful though. I love that you just hop along, because you know I fear that we like had to. I don't know the term waterboard is so improper, but waterboard Shane with our humor, and he just kind of was bombarded with it, and he didn't know what to do. We kind of just like we started picking on that man, and he didn't know what to do, so he just kind of. I've learned to play along.
The kids on Degrassi, the regulars, they have a reputation to uphold. I don't. I don't give a fuck.
They have a reputation and I don't.
That's so real.
Oh my gosh.
It's true.
We brought Shane in though.
Go ahead.
And what was the poem I made Shane read? It was like, roses are red, sometimes yellow like corn. Is this improv class or softcore porn?
That sounds about right, because it was the salami one that we had him on for.
And that was, and he's, immediately he's just like, I don't know what I've gotten myself into. I said I was going to do this. I'm going to do it, I guess.
Right, but then we immediately
although he's come back like two more times.
Mm-hmm. At this point, we've got to tell him, no, Shane, we'll call you. We'll call you, buddy. Love you, buddy. No, joking. Okay.
He also won't like watch the episodes. He's like,
I don't want to watch myself as a like young actor.
It's refreshing. I get that though. But then you're also an adult in this, so I'm sure that you're like, hey, this is me in my 20s. This is me in my 30s, whatever. Like it's not.
Yeah, if somebody was like, do you want to watch your high school production of Guys and Dolls? You'd probably be like, no, thank you.
Actually, yes. Because I was in a production of Guys and Dolls in high school, and I killed it.
I'd like to watch that, Avis.
Maybe you'll get a DVD in the mail. Maybe you'll get a DVD. Don't ask. Oh. It's just a blank DVD. Don't ask any questions. Just pop it in. Because I'm not uploading that to the internet at all.
I'm also going to need
and if
that.
It finds its way onto the internet, Tom, I'm going to know who to come mad at.
Yeah, come get me. Come on.
I'll tell you what, Avis, I will trade you your Guys and Dolls DVD for my performance as Nancy and Oliver.
Ooh, sold.
At the local community theater.
Sold.
But you can't, I will not watch it with you.
Oh, I don't, no, actually I prefer to experience it alone.
And I don't want to talk about it.
You just don't want to talk about it.
Wow, we struck a nerve there. I'm going to do some research.
No, it's just like, I don't want to talk about old performances I did, like, you know.
No, you're okay with me, though. You'd be okay picking on me doing something 30 years ago. How do you think I feel? Look at me.
I don't think we've been picking on you. I think we told you you were great. We said the writing sucks, but you did a good job. Yeah. And that's the mark of a good actor, to take bad writing and turn it into something.
Well, thank you very much. Now I'm back on your team. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Is there any more to cover in the B-plot, or should we move on over to... Blowjob Manor.
What the hell?
Yeah. Apparently, I've decided this episode has a quota it needs to hit for times that we say blowjob.
For times that blowjob is said. Okay. I wish that I was going to edit this in a way that I could do like a blowjob counter, but I'm not doing that. And I'm going to hear this when I'm editing and I'm going to laugh and I'm going to be like... Bitch, I'm not doing that. But that would be so cute if I did that, right? That would be so cute if I counted how many times we did. And then at the end, I was like, we said blowjobs however many times. That would be
37
cute.
Times.
We're not doing that, though. But yeah, this is a really weird A plot to have attached to this B plot, I think.
Yeah,
that's a great segue.
That's right. It's beautiful, right? And I try.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah.
It's really weird, guys.
What can I say about this? Nothing. Go ahead, Caroline. You're on the air.
Well, no, I have to wonder too. So, like, you were, you know, a series regular. So I have to assume you had like some sort of rapport with these kids as an adult working with these children. And like,
I had a restraining order. I had to keep away. No.
Was it like weird to come back 20 years later and watch an episode about Miriam sucking dick? Like,
well, I've seen her at an audition. It was a few years ago. She looked at me. I looked at her. I go, oh, she went, hey, hi. And she was like a full-blown woman. And I went, what the hell? Wow. So,
right? Like, it's crazy how that happens.
Hey,
what's up, girl?
Hey, teacher. You want an A+? Anyway, meet me in the ravine. But no. That's terrible. Caroline, why would you say that? I moved my lips and you dubbed it in.
You got no filter.
Anyway.
Everybody knows that.
What the hell was I going to say? I don't remember what I was going to say. I have no idea.
You and Miriam went down to the ravine.
Oh, no, 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 no.
You had a rapport with these. Did you have a rapport?
When I was on set, more often than not, I was probably the only adult. So then all the crew and everyone in the wardrobe would go, hey, Tom's here. We can finally talk to someone who's an adult. But in the green room, I'd hang out sometimes. And there was a few chuckles. Melinda Chenker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with her. And AJ, I mix up the names with the real names and the character names. So I just don't know.
I mean, I think a lot of our listeners
know. We know who Melinda
we
and
do.
AJ are.
We do.
For anybody who doesn't, that's Allie and Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Daniel Turner. Remember him? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I forget. I had a walk in the hallway with a horse in my horse's head. We had I can't remember. I think that was his name. But Jamal.
Yeah, I was going to say that's his character name, but yes, yep.
I knew
Turner, yep.
Yeah, we had a good rapport with him. Earl?
Yes,
that's Casey.
Yeah, I know his parents. So that was, we had a relationship with his parents. I worked with them years ago. So some of the, you show up and, you know, they're all in their own little clique, whatever, and you're the only adult and you're hanging out and they feel like it's, who's this guy? He's weird. But eventually I just said, you know, cut the shit. Let's just talk. Because it was funny.
You will respect me.
Yeah. I will not let those handcuffs free until, no, I will not. Shut up. Okay, quiet. No, you know, it was really interesting watching whenever a new actor would show up on set, right? Mm-hmm. Grade 9. They're whatever, 13 years old, 14, mm-hmm. and there is a certain naivete to them, an innocence, an openness to their, and they were friendly to everyone. And then within a scene or two, then later on, they became very guarded. And not necessarily with me, but I saw their demeanor change because obviously after a season or two on the show, then they'd go around touring the continent, going to shopping malls, signing autographs, and that. Then they had this whole air about them is like, it wasn't a mistrust. It was more like, I don't know why you want to make friends with me. Are you making friends with me because now I'm on a famous TV show, or do you actually genuinely care for me? That's what I got from some of them that I talked to about it. And it changed their lives at school where they really went to school and their whole social circles. And it was fascinating to watch that transition. And then some, when they graduate, they go on, some would launch into a different career. And then some, you would just say, okay, they finished a degree and went to university, but some were just like, they wanted to continue acting, but it never panned out. And so you had this whole variation of different career paths they would take. And it was fascinating to watch that. And it broke my heart for some of them who left the show early. You know, I remember at a party, one of the actors said, I'm not coming back next season. And I went, oh my God, I'm so sorry to hear that. And he was heartbroken because it is a fun show to be a part of. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So So I had a rapport with them because I was the guy who they saw on the show that they would join. And they go, oh, that's the Torino guy. And he's actually not a dick in real life. So that's the inside track on some of the rapport I have with some of the students. I'm trying to think if I keep in touch with any of them. Maybe. No, I don't keep in touch with any of them. They all.
I heard they're all bullies, and you know, you're better off.
No, yeah, it's not. I feel like it is a fun thing to have you watch and like talk about the A plot, but it's also a little bit awkward to have this be the A plot that we're talking about with you because
you don't want to talk about blowjobs with a teacher.
Yeah, it's like we're talking about blowjobs with the teacher. But not really. I feel like the teacher's been broken a little bit. Just a little bit. It's like, it's not really...
Now it's just some random guy from Yellowknife.
No! We're not... It is not giving taxidermied animals in Yellowknife.
Yeah, I don't get those
We
vibes.
Have this whole running joke about Emma becoming a deer head taxidermy project because she would have got kidnapped in the first episode where
in the pilot she goes to meet a boy she met on the internet.
Oh. Yeah, the internet
and he's a grown ass man.
And he's from Yellowknife, allegedly.
Wow. I didn't know this. This is really interesting. Wow.
When you know
the pilot is dark.
The pilot is
like cool. Really dark. It's like Emma almost gets like molested and abducted. Snake almost kills a man. Mm-hmm. And then the next episode's like, Toby and Ashley don't like each other.
There was an episode where this grown-ass man lured some of the kids to a motel room to watch porn. I remember that actor. That's a different one.
That's him and Casey. Oh, that's the Casey one, right?
That was years later.
Yes, that's 10, right? Isn't that 10?
I can't remember.
Season 10?
10 or 11, because it's after he breaks up with Claire. He's with Jenna.
Yeah, we have already seen Claire. She is in universe now. She's just not on the show yet. I think she'll be on the show in like a year or two. But yeah, it's a fun one.
Sean was really fucking annoying to me in this because like they should have said something sooner, but like. She wasn't your girlfriend. You weren't even in town. Mm-hmm. She had just almost died. Like
she was acting poorly, sure, but
and
she
it's
was,
okay to like need to take a minute to like digest that information, but like we're knocking shit over and like threatening Tony's business with our horrible customer service.
This is like you got a problem. I changed the oil. Kicks tire. Yeah. Tire pressure's fine.
Yeah, that whole scene was ridiculous. It just felt so funny. And the first day on the job, she shows up and he's like, okay, I'm out of here. Like, you know, you don't allow a regular civilian walk into the mechanics area because it's a safety regulation. It's a violation of safety protocol. Anyhow, when I saw it, I said, what the hell?
Tony's like, but then also, Tony, if this is your best customer, the Lexus owner is your best customer, why are you having this kid who just walked off of the street, who you have a very loose recommendation from of work on your best customer's car?
Yeah. And
why wouldn't you personally handle that, Tony?
I'm surprised Lexus didn't shut them down from using their name because that car had everything wrong with it. First it was the air conditioning, then the oil, then the tires, and all these. They were all working. This thing was a shit car. They were working on it all day.
It was pulling.
So many things were wrong with it. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's a Lexus, not a Geo Metro. What are we doing here?
I was like, whatever happens after you let a kid who you don't have any credentials on or anything, just work on this car, your best customer's car, without like seeing him do other things first.
Yeah.
I'm going to question your business practices, Tony. Perhaps.
I mean, it's probably a laundering front.
I mean, Tony doesn't, Tony literally looks like he is not, his lab coat's cut, it looks like a lab coat to me, sorry. It's his work coat, looks slightly dirty. It doesn't look like he's doing anything. What is he doing? Like, we see Tony one time, and he's sitting down on the car. He's not fixing the car.
Walked around in a beautiful lab coat.
Mm-hmm. And it's a huge shop. There's like, it seems like a lot of people in the background or anything. How is he paying all these people? Why does he need another mechanic?
Right. Right. And does he like
money laundering?
That's it. It was a stop shop. They were stolen vehicles. And they were dismantling them and selling them off. Because he didn't ask for a resume.
He never watched The Sopranos, dude.
He didn't want, no, he did not ask for a resume.
No resume. Didn't see if he was licensed. You know, where did you learn mechanics? In prison, you know?
I took a class in school.
Yeah.
Always liked cars. Gonna open Cameron's Custom Cars one day.
And yeah, and the air conditioning on a car is not easy to work on because you have to take the radiator out, you have to check the fluids, the coolant. It costs a lot of money to do it. But it was a Lexus, so, you know, he had to get on it. So good for him. He fixed that and the tires were fine. All good, and he threw the fit. And the customer shows up. Oh, that was,
The customer being in the bay where they work on the cars is weird. The customer would never be back there. I know they sometimes let you stand there and watch, but not like right there. Typically, you have to be back farther. And then
you
got
to
like
be a teen girl fucking one of these mechanics to be in the bay.
But they let Emma in because she was a hottie.
Emma just got,
they were like, she's paying in a mechanic. It's fine.
Yeah.
And for me, it's Jay being like, I don't want to tell you. And then he tells him. And then Sean's like, I'm pulling right up and finding out, is this the truth? Did this happen? And she's like, who told you?
Wrong answer.
He's like, rage.
Yeah,
like that was his kryptonite. He was like, I'm going to flip everything over that is coming between me and Jay and beating Jay's ass.
Yeah,
I love how far they like bent over backwards to not say blowjob. Like, you know, he'd just be like, "We messed around. You had sex? No, not exactly.
Not exactly.
I did.
It's not my fault. You did that with Jay.
I got my oil changed." That's terrible. Why would you say that, Caroline? Stop.
I don't know because
I don't know. This and every episode.
You really don't have to, like, you can, we are an uncensored show. Like, we on regular occasion refer to, like, 14-year-old girls as cunts on this show because they're being cunts. So, like, you can, you're good.
The look, like, the clutched pearls.
Oh, my, if I had them, I'd be
if clutching.
If
you had
them,
they'd be clutched. Wow. Yeah.
It's my favorite word.
Only when they deserve it.
Only when they deserve it.
My wife doesn't let
which
me
sometimes
use that
they
word.
Do.
She does Aww. Not let
you
me
what?
Use that word. My wife does not let me use that word. I've used it. She just hates me for it. She, you use it again, we are done.
You were
well, then like, you shouldn't call
you
Emma
should
a cunt.
Not call Emma a cunt. We'll call Emma a cunt for
we'll
you.
Get that covered. You can just call blowjobs oil changes. It's fine.
Well, I could say to Emma, see you next Tuesday.
Correct.
Wednesday. See you next Tuesday. See you. There you go. That's the code. That's the one we use in Canada.
I manage a food pantry, and I have all these volunteers that are mostly like older ladies. And one day, one of them was leaving, and she wasn't going to be there for Thursday. So she was like, "All right, I'll see you next Tuesday." And because I have no filter and I'm very professional, I said, "Rebecca, did you just call me a cunt?" And then I had to explain it to my old ladies.
She was like,
"I don't use that word."
She was like, "What?"
Well, that would be a good title for an episode. Because all
we do, Rebecca, did you just call me a cunt?
No.
That's probably what the name of this episode is going to be.
Because
I'm going to try the little mark thing, Avis. You tell me how it works in editing. But I added a marker.
Okay.
Beautiful. I will let you know. No, it's not appropriate to always call 14-year-old cunts, but we do when necessary. And we're a very uncensored show. I think that's how we got into this. So no need, you know, unless your wife tells you not to say that thing. Yeah. Don't say that thing.
I won't say it.
Because if she listens to our show, if she listens to this episode in particular to hear you, and she hears you say that.
Oh boy. I didn't say it.
I think there will be.
How long you been married though, Tom?
Oh, God, don't ask me this. We've been living together since 2006, but we never
She's
married.
Not going to listen to this, Avis. Straight people lose interest in their partnership real fast. She's going to be like, good job, Tom. I'm real proud of you. You went on a podcast with like 24 listeners. Good job, babe.
First of all, my girlfriend doesn't listen to this podcast either.
Neither does my husband.
She's like, good job, baby. We support you to the moon and back. I'll buy you things for this podcast, but I'm not listening to it. And I love
that. The way that I got, that my husband got back from his trip and he was like, I saw some of the videos you made and I liked a couple of them, but I don't want my algorithm to just be your mom's podcast. So I didn't like them all. And I was like, that's so real though.
That's completely real. And I respect that though. Okay?
Right.
Sometimes I'm like, I don't want to engage too much with this one thing because then the algorithm will just feed me that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gotta keep your algorithm crispy, as the kids say.
No kids are saying that,
and I think it's very clear that no kids are saying that, because I think crispy means just something different entirely. But anyway,
can I just say that when Sean, it Snake's like, what about going back to school? And Sean's like, I got expelled for some reason. For a minute I forgot about Sean's recent expulsion and was like, did he get expelled for killing Rick? Because that seems unfair.
Expelled for killing Rick? Well, no, that would be No, he just got expelled for having weed planted in his fucking locker.
Oh.
Right? And we still haven't uncovered that was Peter.
And somehow Peter
missed a lot,
didn't get kicked out of school for planting the weed.
Peter got 5 weeks of detention for a literal sex crime, so I don't know why you're surprised.
Zero tolerance, except when it comes to Peter Stone, who also happens to be my child, and know those two things are not related in any way.
Tom's over here like, what the fuck was going on in this school?
I should have watched this show.
I should have watched the show that I was on.
Oh,
yeah, so Peter plants drugs in Sean's locker because Sean comes back for 2.5 seconds. And obviously Peter
and Emma is just like in love.
He starts dressing like Spinner. It's very weird. It's very single white female,
oh,
but they're dudes and they've got tank tops on. And it's not okay. Sean is creeped out. He's like, no, man, I don't want to hang out with you. And so Peter's salty. So he tries to ruin Sean's life. And that starts with like kicking him out of any like eligibility to be with Emma. And obviously getting kicked out of school because drugs are in your locker is something Emma's going to look down on. Like, she's just too. So she does no critical reasoning about how this weed ended up in the locker. That was obviously Peter had access to the locker. She does not put two and two together until Manny puts two and two together for her. And then she tells no one, I guess, that this man was expelled because of her ex-boyfriend. She just breaks up with Peter. And she's like, I consider this handled.
And he just never sees any consequences really for any of his actions. Because at the beginning of season 5, Manny's drunk and he films her like doing a Girls Gone Wild and then tries to extort her for $5,000 and then sends it to the entire school. Literally distributes child pornography.
Remember,
and his mom's like 5 weeks detention.
He tries to extort her first for a date.
Oh.
That is a fair point.
And she says no. So he's like, I want a new camera. You're going to pay for it.
Oh.
Yeah. Peter's a literal criminal.
What became of Peter?
Meth. But he literally is in the show until the Netflix.
Yeah, he's like in Next Class, I think.
Yeah, he is in the show. He comes back. People conveniently forget that he committed a sex crime and Yeah, we definitely don't always talk about the extortion part. Like, that it wasn't about money, that was about he was trying to extort her for a date.
That sounds creepy. That sounds like I Steph Brogan just did a movie called Dateless to Dangerous, based on that type of behavior, not getting dates, and the person ends up joining the NCEL movement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So look it up. It just, I think it just aired a couple weeks ago on Lifetime.
Oh yeah. Ooh. No, we actually are looking for a new, and we will break, not even break our own rules. There are rules. If it's directed by a Degrassi alum, we'll do it.
Yeah. I had one scene in it, by the way.
Ooh. And then it's double booked.
Yeah.
We do a film club where we watch movies that Degrassi folk have been in, which is a lot of Lifetime movies.
Yeah, yes. Stefan directed this, and it was a good time to spend the day with Stefan. I had no idea in this episode we just watched that I had actually a scene with him. I totally forgot about that. I totally forgot.
Because he's trying
to be like... He kind of looks like he wants to hit you.
Yeah, he has that mean look.
At the end, but then he also tries to like reason with you because you're pissed off and you're like, these kids, God, they just drive me crazy or whatever, or something like that. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, but they're kids, right, Don?
Yeah.
Right, Don? Dom. Right, Dom? Dom? Yeah. And he's like, fuck you, man. I'm not on the same page with you. I'm pissed off. Get out of my face with this. They're just kids bullshit. You were having none of that.
No, I was Mr. Prick.
And then he's just like, I feel like there could have been some intervention here. He like clearly sees that you're pissed off. And then he's just like, they're kids. It's fine. Until like you literally are like being pushed out of the job, or like you're on like an academic tribunal, I guess. Or is it a tribunal when it's just one person deciding your fate?
I don't know. He tossed me over to Hazelakis, whatever her name was.
She gave you 2 weeks detention.
She was like, it's fine. He didn't.
She's like, did you threaten to kill a student's mother? It's fine.
Did he hit the kid? Did he hit the kid? He did not hit the kid. He's fine.
That's fine. And yeah, and then come back and sub in for Mr. Simpson.
Perfect. She just has to be clear that no physical contact occurred.
Yeah.
And she's fine. She's fine. Like, I don't
She's like, if you dated a student, contact. That's fine. Yeah.
If you dated them, that's fine.
And later
but,
on.
But if you put.
Well, actually, before we did the Degrassi, Ms. Hasselakis, who played by Angela DeMarco, in that soap opera I did for Linda called Riverdale, I had an affair with Ms. DeMarco. Her character.
Nice. Everybody has affairs with her.
Oh, yeah.
She seems, and no disrespect, but she seems like that would be a very hot affair. Just saying.
Oh, it was not just the ravine. It was everywhere.
Yeah, I'd watch that porn. Not gonna lie.
Mall. It was at a shopping mall. It was at a church. No, I'm kidding.
Never happened. I love how like intimate the Canadian acting scene is.
Substitute the word intimate with incestuous. More appropriate.
Seriously, that like the actors that play Claire and Eli, they played siblings, and then they go on to play, you know, have a whole ill-fated romance on Degrassi.
There's only like 50 actors in
child
Canada.
Actors of the same age in Canada.
Small pool. Yeah. Right.
I like that. Like every Canadian actor just about is on Degrassi. Damn, like. Half the cast and Schitt's Creek shows up on Degrassi.
You got to get your Degrassi stamp. Are you Canadian if you did not get your Degrassi stamp?
Yeah. Yeah. And because the show, you know, once you graduated from the school, you're done. You're out of the show. So they had to bring in other people, age appropriate. So that's why the pool was depleted.
Except for Shantae. They kept that girl in high school for a decade.
They're like, you stay and be in the background and do nothing. Yeah.
What else we got to cover here?
I was going to say, let me look at
let's see.
Are we done?
I mean, I think like for as intense as the A-plot is, it's really pretty simple. I would like to note that Manny is really emotionally mature for anybody's issues but her own. Mm-hmm. And continuity error. Sean was a vegetarian. So when Emma's like, I see prison hasn't made you a vegetarian, fuck yourself, Emma. He was a vegetarian.
Damn, look at you paying attention to the details.
I actually was just talking with a friend about this the other day, because ever since I learned about show Bibles, inconsistent, like, continuity errors make me so much more annoyed. So I'm like, true. Are you show just Bibles like...
It just depends.
Do you read the show Bible the way evangelicals read the actual Bible? Like, is that what we're doing here?
The answer is absolutely not.
I don't know that I have much more.
I have two last, just that I appreciate the start. I might see why people like Emma and Sean together in this era, only because the end of like, I really need to get to know you again. And you have to save yourself from yourself sometimes is really important in even adult relationships, because like, yes, I will stand by you. I will be there for you, but you cannot sabotage yourself. Like, you have to be there. You have to pick yourself up sometimes. And after not being in someone's life for a while, you have to get to know them again. You cannot rush back in there and then be mad at them for shit that happened when you were not there, and then presume that they're still the same exact person that they were when you left them, because that's not how people work. So actually they have a really good foundation, and I know it goes nowhere, but but leaving this episode, it feels so good. It's like, oh, I see kind of why you guys like these people. Like, the way that Emma talks to him is like, she's almost understanding how healthy relationships should function. Yeah. And I appreciate that, especially from teenagers.
Someone did their homework.
Yes. Research
in psychology and social work, because at some point I was thinking, oh, this is a codependent relationship. This is going to die. But then out those words came and went, ah, someone's been watching Dr. Phil or whatever.
Someone's been in tune with the emotions and reading.
Yes. 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 Save it. She's not just infatuated with bad boys. So she's a grown, mature woman now.
That is a big, valid point, because I think even a couple episodes ago, we're just like, she is attracted to conflict and like boys. Yeah.
Drama.
But it's like, she really does want Sean. Yeah. And it's nice to see her be like, no, you need to grow up. Like, I'm growing up.
Yeah.
You grow up too. We need to grow up together. And I think I have a segue into...
Oh, well, if you're going to segue, then I have one more note, which is just, there's a part where Sean's like, you ruined something good, just like you always do, to Jay, which I found interesting, because I don't think that's an accurate assessment of Jay. It finds people who are already spiraling and is like, let me help. He's not like, let me go ruin this good thing. He's just like, oh, you're struggling? How about you sell drugs?
Don't mind if I do. I'm going to exploit this situation. But he doesn't technically create that situation.
No. Everybody who makes bad choices with Jay was getting there on their own. He just, you know, drove them so they'd get there a little faster.
So Jay's a caretaker. He goes around taking care of people, who are flawed, so that they will not look at his shortcomings. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, Mr. Perino, where'd you come up with that one?
I think that's rather astute, and partially why Jay needs a flock, because if he doesn't have a flock of people to caretake for, then he shall turn inward, and that is just a spooky place to be. So,
yeah.
Beautiful. Yep. So no, my segue, which would be out of order because it's Fashion Corner next, but we're going to go to Fashion Corner
because we have the spemaciting.
Well, we can segue to whatever you want to segue to too.
Oh, I was going to do the spemaciting. I was going to
Let's segue into that.
So Tom, as we mentioned, Spemma is Spinner and Emma. Spoiler alert, they get married.
What?
Yeah, I know. The fandom hates
it. It's wild.
The fandom hates it. They're like, these people didn't interact. They do not have anything in common. Whether or not they have things in common can be debated, but they do interact at times. So in this episode, Spinner arranges for Emma and Sean to have an after-hours dinner at the Dot. And
because
I'm like,
already, even when she's not with him, he wants her to be happy. Mm-hmm. Going that extra mile to make her
so
happy.
Not only does he facilitate his future wife's date, but he also foreshadows how they will start their relationship by saying, don't break anything, which is how they get together, because she almost burns down the dot in a couple
seasons. She does burn down the dot. The window literally explodes.
Right. Sorry. She burns down the dot. So she breaks a lot of things. And that is how, and you know, they spark up a situationship that turns into their marriage.
From the ashes of the dot rises the chaotic phoenix of Spinner and Emma.
Of Spinner and Emma. Beautiful.
Avis, I didn't realize until right before we were about to record that the thing that I couldn't put my finger on that I had forgotten to do today was do my fashion watch. So that's you guys. That's all you guys.
I only have one.
Perfect. That was my fashion too.
Any fashion, Tom? That you?
What?
Tom's like, excuse me.
What the hell are you talking about?
Did you see any outfits? What about you? We talked about your shoes. You gave us some insight about that they were 1999.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I could think about was watching. Well, what's his name? Derek wore something that's right from Old Navy, which is a different story because I've seen those off the rack. But I used to wear the those little chokers, the necklace chokers, and the wrists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to give this whole thing about that I was, Purina was a Buddhist. But mm-hmm. But they, after a season or two, they just said, no, get rid of that shit.
Snap.
Really? Absolutely. I don't care what backstory you've given your character.
Yeah.
Just be mean to these kids and
fuck
shut the fuck up.
Fuck your backstory.
Yeah. That was the end of that. I was just trying to make it look like he's a hip guy, you know, he's into meditating and all that. But no.
At first, I thought it was a puka shell necklace.
Yeah.
And then I looked a little closer and I'm like, I didn't know puka shell necklace.
But he also had one on his wrist too.
There yeah,
beads on the wrist and
yeah. I'm like, okay.
This whole Zen Buddha thing doesn't really go with the direction we're trying to take you in.
Yeah. You're like, why would he be a Buddhist? Why is he so angry?
The angry Buddhist sounds like a coffee
really
shop.
Bad at it.
That is like a boss coffee shop name.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You.
Courtesy
meet,
of YMP.
Meet you at the Angry Buddhist. Meet you at the Angry Buddhist.
Yeah. Hey, you going to the Angry Buddhist tonight?
I get coffee
go
there.
Study.
We'll have a matcha latte with a shot of tequila.
That's gonna if somebody hasn't already done that, where they've made like dirty matcha and put alcohol, like they're gonna do it.
Yeah.
They've been bastardizing matcha so much. It's so bad. But the one fashion I had was just Emma's top, her little stripy white peplum top. It's very cute. She cries in it. She comes out with holding like 7 million tissues. And
oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. That little, like, for lack of a better term, peplum. I don't know what else it would be called. It has a little, a flare at the bottom. It's cute, but she's wearing a lot of jeans and a going out top combo in this episode. So this is her solid jeans and cute top combo era. I don't need to point out every cutish top. The other two tops are not that cute. So this is the cutest top in the episode. And they got Sean rocking one outfit. He works as a mechanic in that outfit. He travels in that outfit. He fights in that outfit.
Yeah, he probably
does cars.
Yeah, he probably wore it in the ravine.
Mm, when he went to look for evidence.
He goes down to the ravine and he fixes the blowjob van and drives it away so no one else can plug dick in the ravine ever again.
Not he fixes the dick mobile. The dick said whatever. Okay, all right. All right.
All right.
Oh, goodness.
Lay off the pipe.
All right, so.
Lay off the pipe.
Never. Are you talking about the pot pipe, or is that a euphemism for dick?
Ooh, good one. both ways.
Or is that a euphemism for dick indeed?
I'm going to
hit
both pipes.
On that note, shots fired.
Pew, 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 pew.
Shots fired.
Yes. Did you write down shots fired, Tom, or do you want us to just rapid fire and you delight in us?
Sure, I'll delight in you. Whatever. Shots fired. The hell.
Did you have any that you observed?
Well, remind me what shots fired means again.
It's just good insults or like quippy lines or whatever.
What the fuck when she said super duper?
Super duper.
Like, it's just so like, hey, that's super. No, you're. She was mad. She said, I'm super duper mad or something. I said, what the hell? If you're mad, you shouldn't say super
duper. Was
that Emma? So, yeah.
Yeah, Emma said super duper.
She occasionally talks like a fucking toddler.
Yeah, super duper.
And I don't.
And what was the other one?
That pissed you off.
Yeah, it just took me out of the scene. I'm really super duper mad at you guys. You know, I'm really super duper pissed.
Took me out of the scene.
That's so valid.
What's the only Kuka Coco something Kuka nuts or something?
Bananas. Yeah,
that's something Manny has started saying, and we just pretend it's a normal thing people say.
We do.
That's too much. It's a mouthful, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So, those little things stick out for me, but yeah, and then
she makes it cute, but you know, it's a lot of it's word salad. It's a lot to say.
It is. Yeah, and I said some assholish thing throughout that whole. Be a man. Say it again. Be a man. What the hell? Don't be a clown. Be a man. I don't know. It's just.
Yeah.
Nasty. What the hell? What the hell was this guy thinking? That's about it. That was the only thing that stood out for me.
Okay. All right. Let's do our rapid fire then. How many do you have, Caroline?
18.
All right. That's going to line up. I'm
going to
go first.
You can go first.
You probably
Okay, so my first one is Perino saying, I think it's time this presentation surrendered. By the way, it's Reich, not rake. You're done.
Yeah.
Actually, I have two before that, and I took Snakes as, I took his as some shots fired. Him saying, well, that sounds like a fine plan if you can find a bank manager willing to lend money to a high school dropout. And then also him saying, we're sure you're going to figure it out. Your life, I mean.
Yeah.
Like, I just, it's just like rude.
Damn, Snake.
Man.
Yeah, he.
Breakfast man. This is some bullshit. That's a dinner. That's some dinner, like, banter. Like, don't talk to
me.
Well,
you got to think about it from Snake's point of view. Like, he always liked Sean. He was rooting for Sean. And then
Sean
maybe kills a kid, goes to a Sega. Emma starts sucking dick at the ravine and dating sex criminals. Like, he's like, Sean, if you're coming back into my daughter's life, you need to have a plan. You need to have your shit together. I'm not doing this.
Snake said it's his wit's end.
My next one is Perino saying the assignment was to summarize an event in your own words, not bore everyone by copying the damn thing from your textbook.
Then I have Danny saying it's not my fault. History's so boring.
Oh yeah.
And Derek saying maybe it's the teacher.
Yes. That one was a zinger.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah.
I have Peter saying lovers quarrel.
You took something that was good and you ruined it, just like you always do.
Oh, snap. Manny's saying, ouch, hope you had a soft landing when you fell off that pedestal.
Okay, so before that, I have Jay saying she damn near begged me to let her do it.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Those were fighting words.
Yeah, that's why he kicked that thing over.
He was mad,
I have Sean to the Lexus owner. You have a problem with my work, you take it up with me. So, do we have a problem?
And I have Perino saying,
I have a mechanic with an attitude.
That's such a weird exchange. I have Perino saying, did anybody not stay up all night playing video games and looking at nudie pictures on the internet?
Yeah, I'm going to use that one on my
zero.
Yeah, take the zero. What a dick. Anyhow, these are good.
I have Perino saying, all right, who's gonna butcher another presentation, or do I have to keep handing out zeros?
I have Emma saying, classic Sean, when the going gets tough, the Sean gets going.
I have, my last one is Emma saying, okay, little boy, I give up.
So I have before that, I have when Sean says, not perfect, I'd say. And then Emma saying, I grew up, maybe you should try it.
Yep.
So from there, the next segment that we do is Shining Stars and Super Bummers, which is just we decide, like, who are the MVPs and the least valuable players of this episode, essentially.
Yes.
And Tom, you are great, but Perino bummed me the fuck out.
Oh, so sorry. So sorry. What can I do to make it up to you?
Well, I mean, you don't have to do anything.
No,
you're
You've made it up. You know, you're good. Good.
We are good. Tom and Caroline, great. Dom and Caroline, we got some issues.
But then we've also got to throw Danny and Derek in there for provoking him to anger.
They asked for it. You're right.
And can we throw in Snake for running to Hatzilakos because snitches get stitches?
Yes, absolutely. Snake. He'd be running, tell that little bitch to everything. He'd tell her everything. Be a run and tell that little ass bitch. Yeah.
Emma bummed me out. Sean bummed me out. Or no, Emma didn't bum me out.
Emma did not bum me out. Sean bummed me out. And Jay just kind of fell somewhere in the middle because I think Jay was just trying to stay the fuck out of it. Honestly, I don't think he was a bummer. I think he was just like, especially when he's like, his beef is with me, Lexus owner, not with you. Like, he's being very professional.
He's like, let me stop you from fucking up your life, even as you're like ready to punch me in the face. Because Jay's a real one.
It's both fired, too. Like, and potentially arrested because this is a man who drives a Lexus. You best believe he's calling the law.
Yeah.
As he should.
You look like a lawyer.
It's like, did you do this right? You don't look like you did it right. I was not bummed out by Emma, so I cannot put her on there.
Yeah, no, I retract that. I jumped the gun there because I'm usually bummed out by Emma.
It's usually there. Can't blame you for that. I don't think Snake was in there for the Hatzilakos thing, but obviously he's in there too for firing shots at Sean at the breakfast table. That's just rude. That's rude in my opinion. I know he's got reasons, but let the man digest his breakfast.
For Shining Stars, I'm going to give Baby Jack a Shining Star just because he doesn't seem to have colic.
And he's not being a
baby
mess.
Always has colic, and he's just sitting there happy.
Eating his food.
No, what about Spike?
Spike's a little bitch in this episode.
Yeah, Spike was there.
On like, I get to ask these questions. I'm your mother. Since when, Spike?
I do feel though, like Spike and Snake, I have always felt like they care about Sean because he's dating Emma, but they also care about Sean because he's a kid that they care about.
Yes. I just think that, like, Spike, this is the first time I've seen her have a meal with her family. This is good. She's usually running out the door carrying Jack, like, stressed out.
Well, she's got to get him to the doctor.
He's always sick. But, I'm going to give it to Emma. You give it to Jack.
I agree.
Emma's very emotionally mature in this episode. There's times when I'm genuinely like, yes, you did good. Yes, good job.
I gotta give it to Manny too.
Well, yes, Manny's also, she's having too much fun watching this, but she's doing a good job. She's being
Did it hurt when you fell from your pedestal, Emma?
She's like, that's not good. Don't have that man idolize you. That's not that. No. But yeah,
but then eventually he's gonna figure out you're the ravine blowjob queen, like.
Yep. Anybody else? I don't think so.
No.
Emma and Manny and Jack.
So does it go there?
Does it go there?
What do you think, Tom? Does it go there?
What goes where?
Degrassi. It goes there. Did this episode, like, live up to the Degrassi legacy?
Yeah.
It's
probably an episode they wouldn't air in Florida.
That's the barometer. would not air in Florida.
Or Georgia.
Not air in 2025's Florida or lower Mason-Dixon line states.
Yeah, Florida. I was in Georgia once on holiday visiting my wife's mother and father. And at a mall, there was a sales clerk that recognized me from the show in Georgia, Atlanta.
Yeah.
We love you guys here. We love you.
America loves Degrassi. Yeah.
But some America states loves- didn't, though. I thought some states banned, like Florida took some episodes off. Or
Yeah, Florida sucks.
Manny gets an abortion there. And that episode didn't air.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't get that countrywide. It was like a countrywide thing. Okay. They released like months after it originally aired. Okay. It was like out of series order and everything.
It was just particular episodes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. When we went to Tennessee, the turnout for Degrassi was so huge. And we're like, everybody loves you guys. We love Degrassi so much. And even to the point where like when we went to Niagara Falls and we're like, oh, we're going to Niagara Falls Comic Con. We're going to see Degrassi. The lady who was like looking at our passports to let us into the country was like, why?
Well, no, she asked. She asked how we know each other.
Yes,
and I was like, "We have a podcast together." She goes, "About what?" And I said, mm-hmm. "Degrassi." She goes, like, "Degrassi?
Like Degrassi High? Like, yeah."
Yeah, I think America loves Degrassi more than Canada. More than Canada, honestly.
Yeah. I think it's indifference. It's like we know you people. Like we see you. You're just.
We don't want to look at
our neighbors. I think it's much. It's a bigger deal over here for sure.
Good to know.
But no, I would also say it goes there.
It goes
there. You know, we've got whatever the fuck is happening in Perino's life is definitely going there. Like something is very wrong with this man.
Yes, it's not okay.
You'll never know. You'll never find out.
Right? No, we won't.
We won't. We just have to take your like the acting backstory you've crafted that they told you to partially abandon. It goes there. Yeah, we got a lot of happenstances and a resurgence of the dick sucking that happened last. Sorry, that was an unfortunate like breath amount of breath that I took in between saying that. But yeah. It goes there.
All right, this has been a blast. I always have fun recording, but this has been a really good one. Tom,
you're our first like actor from the show that's made through an entire episode because Shane peaced out after his portion of the episode, and also he didn't even really talk about the plot.
Yeah, he was like, they put a salami in my pants.
Yeah, and then here you go. Here's a little story, and then he dipped. So thank you for sticking with us the entire show, Tom.
Yeah.
We had so much fun with you.
I could have left anytime I wanted.
I knew you were going to say that.
You're free to go if you really want. There's that little red phone button. That's all you got to do.
But then you wouldn't get to tell our listeners what you're up to.
Where they can find you, what you're up to.
To look out for anything. You already plugged that you're in. And we're going to do this Stephen Brogan directed film and Tom Melissa's acted film. We're gonna do it. We're gonna find it. It's readily available.
Yeah, we'll look that up. Date List of Dangerous, story of an incel. Stephen Brogan directs it. I appear in one scene in it, but I haven't seen the whole thing, but the content is really cool. It looks like it's
Are you an incel?
Oh, shut up, Caroline. No.
Tom just told you to shut up.
Marino's an incel. Yeah, I'm a 97-year-old incel. No, I play the boy who becomes an incel. His mother worked for me. I'm a lawyer, and she worked together. And there was another movie that came out recently called Zoe's Having a Baby. Cute romantic comedy. The lead actress is very good in it. The two leads are very good in it. The lead actress is Nina Kiri. She was in Handmaid's Tale. I play her fertility doctor that helps her get pregnant. I don't impregnate her. I help her get pregnant. I'm in there for about.
Right. Yes, you mentioned a fertility doctor. Gotcha.
There was actually it came to light a few years ago that there was a fertility doctor here in Vermont who actually was impregnating people.
Oh, that happened in Vermont.
That's happened in different places. They find out these like 97 children this person's fathered.
Yep.
I've watched like 2 documentaries about it. I'm fascinated. Yeah. I'm also really creeped out by it. Very terrified by it.
Yeah, next, when Degrassi gets remounted, all the students are going to look like Perino.
It's just going to be a Perino army.
Yeah.
I love it.
Genetically engineered Perinos. Just walking around in their 1999 shoes.
To the ravine.
To the ravine. Ooh, perfect.
Okay, that's nasty.
All right. Yeah. You guys on that note.
You're a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun too, Tom. Thank you. All right. Thank you for playing along.
Okay. Well, when you edit together, send me the link. I can see if
definitely. Thank you so much, Tom.
Okay. If this was worth your time, well, absolutely. And also,
wonderful.
Would you provide us with if you want us to just pick a picture off the internet, we can do that too. But on our title cards, we put a picture of whoever is the guest in between our past selves so that there's a visual representation of the guest.
Okay. So what do you want
to do? So any picture.
You want me to send you a picture or do a screenshot of
this? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we can.
No, just a picture. Just a picture of yourself that you like, because otherwise we'll pick the most unflattering one we can find.
Okay.
That's true. But can I do a selfie for our socials?
Yes.
Let's see if we can get it.
Where am I looking? I don't know. Where the eye line is?
Look at the screen. I don't know. Right. I'm so sorry. I think it looks good. Okay. Yes. I think you look good.
Okay. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that's cute. Well,
looks like we like each other. That's important.
It does.
All right.
This was a fun recording.
Thank you so much.
Okay. We'll see you later. Be in touch.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
I can hit the leave button now, right?
Yes. You can.
I'm going to pull a Shane. Here we go.
Thanks for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. Next week, we will be joined by our dear friends, Emily and Mel, to discuss Craig's cocaine follies in What It Feels Like to Be a Ghost.
Boom.
This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by Tony's Garage, anger management, and support from listeners like you. Okay. Put that bitch to bed!
All right. Bye.
We'd like to take a minute to thank our Patreon subscribers. Say?
Pineapples. Can we do it without the movement?
Yep. Yep. Okay. I noted. I realized too late and it was, you know how it goes.
It's okay.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers, Tay,
Lucy,
Iggy,
Evie,
Miranda,
and an extra special thanks to our Titty Snake producers, Tawny,
the Degrassi Generations Facebook group,
Corey,
Chelsea,
Brandy,
and Alika.
Thank you, guys. We love you.
Thank you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPodcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.